In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have an embarrassment of riches in today's readings, both the first reading and in the Gospel. And so I'm tempted to do a homily on each, but I won't do that. I'll only sort of do that. Make a brief comment about the first reading, and then we'll go on to the Gospel, because it is the more important of the two. About the first reading, I simply want to point out that this is a continuation of yesterday's reading, you know, that the reading from the Ephesians, wives, be subordinate to your husbands. Horrible thing to say. And yet, if you see it in context, which is, you know, be subordinate to one another, and it's just, you know, St. Paul then goes and gets categories. Wives, do this. Husbands, do this. Now he goes on to children. Children, how do you be subordinate to one another? Obey your parents in the Lord. Now, we have to be very careful about this because, you know, children do not have to do everything their parents say. And as you grow older, you have to do less of what your parents say because you're not a little kid anymore. You get to be an adult. But that doesn't mean you can't. You can completely ignore your parents. That's a bad thing. Remember that no one can ever be required to do something that is either immoral or illegal. So even under obedience, you don't have that. The parents don't have that authority. And furthermore, it does well to remember that children are not slaves. Now, there's a joke going around on the internet. So what's this about the TV remote? When I was a kid, I was the remote. Johnny, get up and change the channel to Channel 4. Lincoln freed the slaves. No, but he didn't free children. So there you go. And so we need to remember that. It's all about, you know, laying down our lives as for each other as Christ laid down his life for us. Now on to the Gospel. Someone came to Jesus and said, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" This is a question that we still get today. How many people are going to heaven? How many people are going to hell? And the real answer is, we don't know. And that's the answer that Jesus knows, but he's not telling. He doesn't answer the question. He doesn't say whether there will only be a few people saved or a lot of people be saved. And if Jesus doesn't answer the question, then we shouldn't either. You know, there was a great theologian in the last century, Hans Urs von Balthasar, who put a book out and said, "Dare we hope that all men be saved?" And yes, I say we can hope. And the reason why we can hope is because it's God's will that all men would be saved. But it's not a safe bet. Because remember, there is that thing of free will which comes into play there. And the scripture is quite clear that there will be those who reject God, who die in final impenitence and are hence damned. And so, you know, that probably not everyone will be saved. We can hope, and we should work towards the salvation of everyone. We should pray for people, admonish them, give them a good example, do everything that we can to help them on their way to salvation. But ultimately, it's their choice. Instead of saying how many are saved, Jesus tells people how to be saved. "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough." What's the narrow gate? The narrow gate is following the teachings of Christ, because Christ says he is the gate, and so we need to follow him. And he says elsewhere that, you know, the road to perdition is wide and many find it, but the road to salvation is narrow and few find it. Then he talks about those people who, once they realize what's happening, try to repent, but it's too late. When does the master lock the door? At death. When you die, it's over. You're either going to heaven or hell. Probably if you're going to heaven with a pit stop in purgatory, but not necessarily. And the worst thing in the world that Jesus could ever say to anyone is, I do not know you. And whose fault is that? Now Jesus's. Because Jesus gives us multiple opportunities not to know about him. You know, that's part of it. But, you know, we can know about a lot of things, but not know the things. To know them, you have to have personal experience with them. And when we, you know, when and if we get to heaven, I think we're going to be surprised about who is there and who isn't. Because as Jesus says, for behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Because God judges differently than we do. This is not a matter of turning things upside down. He's not saying everyone who you think is going to heaven is going to hell, and everyone that you think is going to hell is going to heaven. He's not saying that. He's saying God judges things differently than you do. And he really gives a rather pointed reference to those Jewish people who thought they would be saved simply because they're Jewish. There will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. Take nothing for granted. Strive every day to live in a state of grace, so that you may die in a state of grace, so that when the Lord calls you to him in judgment, he may say to you, I know you, come on in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.